If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Stacey, I want you to know that I will sit with you on this stage until everyone in this audience gets bored and tired and leaves one by one. Or you can get up. You can start again. And I'll be waiting for you right off stage after you take your bow. Either way, know two things. You cannot disappoint me. And I ain't going nowhere.
You're gonna forget a lot about these years. But look at your mother right now and remember this. Don't you ever forget how incredible that woman is.
Take it from the top, okay?
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome back to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and have a good cry. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of This Is Us 2. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I think, oh, man, you know what?
What?
I don't ever want my kid to do ballet.
Oh.
I just don't want it. Okay. It's just too toxic for me.
Okay. All because of Beth.
All because of Beth and Goran Vishnick and the whole thing. I'm just done.
He makes a very believable ballet teacher,
doesn't he? Absolutely does.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, just that smugness. That giant smugness. Like,
he nailed it.
Yeah, I wasn't even a fan of his on ER. I was out on him on ER.
Okay.
I'm more out on him on This Is Us now.
I can appreciate
Goran
that.
Goran Vishnick, you thought you were better than George. He was brought in to be the new George Clooney. You can't replace George Clooney.
Can't. But
it's George Clooney.
I'll tell you what. My history teacher in high school looked like Richard Gere. Talk about like another heartthrob from the 90s,
oh,
right?
Yes.
Like straight up, people thought he was Richard Gere. If I showed you his picture in my yearbook, you'd be like, I can see that. I mean, he had like the facial kind of frame.
Show you.
One might even argue a bit more.
Well, did he have the salt and pepper?
He had the salt and pepper.
Oh.
And I almost want to say he had like a more handsome face. You know how Richard Gere's got a little like gnarliness like in the center of his face?
Don't you dare besmirch
just
the good
little
name
gnarliness.
Of Richard Gere.
But do you know
Richard
what I mean?
Gere.
Some like texture, maybe some like bulbousness going on to the end of his nose.
The elder Richard Gere, sure.
Okay,
but
yes.
But if we're talking officer
anyway.
And a gentleman, pretty woman, Richard Gere, that is heresy.
Richard Gere just isn't my guy, but nonetheless, like, this teacher was the heartthrob of like all the moms and all of the older students, all the alumni.
Angela on Facebook just asked if that was my sexy voice. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And because I personally wasn't a Richard Gere fan, I didn't drool over this guy.
Sure.
But he was one of my favorite teachers of all time. He was my American history teacher, which I'm pretty sure was like the history class that I did the worst in.
No wonder why you married me.
And you don't look like Richard Gere, you're lucky. But it was the class that I did the worst in because I just didn't see the need to memorize all the president's first names.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just name them all Bob.
Or George.
Or George. Or Bill. William.
Because at the time it was Bill Clinton.
Yeah. No. Was it at that time?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. So long ago. Back in
high school?
30 years ago.
High school?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, our...
Anyway.
Yeah, your junior, your sophomore
so
year
anyway,
would have been the
this guy
Bush
was a great
election.
Teacher though, because rather than or be like Mary, year. What are you doing, or be mean, he just kind of would roll with it. And yeah. when I would forget the names of places, and I would just say, "Oh yeah, it was this battle," but it was really because like these people took these ships, and this is the impact of it. I mean, he would give me like half points because I understood. The like moral of what you're supposed to get out of it. I can tell you, yeah, we shouldn't do that because back in history,
yeah,
XYZ happened. So anyway, this guy was a great teacher. And I saw him when I was in college. And at that point I was 21 because I was at like the local pub getting some wings and some beers. And
it was
10 cent wing night. Oh. 10 cent wings.
They don't have that no more.
No.
Now it's 50 cent wings.
Like, are you kidding me? So me, being the poor college student, I could go in there with like a $5 bill, get a couple of cheap beers, and 10 wings.
Yeah.
I'd have to find some change for a tip, though.
Just look on the sticky floor.
There you go. But I'm sitting there eating my 10 cent wings, having my cheap beer, and in comes Richard Gere, my teacher. Not real Richard Gere, faux Richard Gere. And he looks the same.
Yeah.
He must be dipped in formaldehyde. He sits at the bar. He's like chatting with a friend. And I went up to him and I said, "Oh my God, Richard Gere teacher. It's me." And he remembered me.
Oh, wow.
And I told him that he was one of my favorite teachers, that there were two clear teachers in my mind that stood out to me, and or three. Three clear teachers that impacted me in a positive way, some of them negative. And I said, "And you are one of the people that inspired me, and I'm actually at school right now to be a teacher myself."
Oh.
And it was just so cool to be able to meet with someone who made such a big impact on me and to be able to tell them that they changed my life for the better.
Hmm. Interesting.
Whereas at a different bar on a different night, I actually saw the kid that used to make fun of me on the bus. And just like Beth Randall, I decided in my elder years, now's a great time to unload this completely unnecessary baggage. And I told that man, "You used to make fun of me on the bus.
Oh, God.
You made my ninth grade a living nightmare." And he didn't remember any of it. And I
no,
said, "Of course
God,
you don't.
Please, no.
Because that's the
no,
person you are."
No.
He was like, "Mary, I was 15.
No.
What's going on?
I was 15.
Like, I don't know. I was like, "Just know that you are a terrible bully." So I made just as big as impact as Beth did, telling her teacher.
Oh.
Yeah. So
right.
You're welcome. That's the end of my story. You keep just like looking at me like I need to keep going, and that's all I've got.
No, I'm letting you roll.
I'm done.
I'm letting you roll. You're obviously not in the Google Doc. You're clearly not in the Google Doc. Because don't worry about it, ladies and gents. Want to let you know that you can find us all on social media, Mary and Blake, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, even TikTok, because God forbid I get on TikTok. I'm out on TikTok.
If
you want to get in touch with us, you can. I do suck at TikTok. You can also email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. And of course, don't forget to go to the Mary and Blake Facebook group. A very special place for all you nerds, a free, fun resource just for you guys to go, hang, talk about this show and the other shows that we do, but also just like the stuff that you love, the shows that you love, and just find a good community to nerd out with, because that's what we're all about here. We're all about making sure that you guys have a fun, clear, awesome space to nerd out and have a good time. So that's that. Mary and Blake Facebook group, of course, on Facebook. You ready to get into the rest of this episode, Marvin?
On Facebook. Trisha don't have no more.
Oh, no. All
I'm
right.
Ready.
Here we go. Let's do it.
Will Russia get Facebook back?
Oh, that's a great question, Mary.
And then what happens when they go on and they're like, oh.
Oh, wait, we can't do it. That's weird. Like.
What even shows up?
404
Is it
page?
Just Mark Zuckerberg going like this? It's the sound effect from Jurassic Park.
Welcome. Jurassic
Park. Mark Zuckerberg. You didn't say the magic word. And it's actually just the peace sign. You didn't say the magic word. If I was really good at graphic design and memes and stuff, that's what I'd be making right now.
Oh, man.
And I love that I could say this on this show, because this show is aimed at a generation that has watched Jurassic Park at least 25 times.
Yeah, and they get it. So
all I need to do is, and you know. you know, I don't even know the rest.
You know exactly what we're talking about. Oh, Newman.
Okay, Blake, let's not say Facebook again.
Zuckerberg's going to be out on us real soon. Okay, here we go. The title of this episode was... Oh, man, my camera is...
Little Island Girl, Part 2.
Sorry, my camera is way off. Hold on one second here. I don't know why my camera is that off. There we go. Someone's messing with my stuff. Little Island Girl, Our Little Island Girl, Part 2.
That's what I said. Booby trap.
Oh, it's because our daughter moved my camera.
Blake,
that's the reason
keep
why.
Keep talking. These people are on an audio podcast.
The director was Kevin Hooks, who has directed A Hell of a Week Part 1 and 2, as well as R and B, and the great bottleneck episode of The Waiting Room. So that is that. And the writers were Ebony Freeman and Susan Kalecki Watson, who, by the way, stars as Beth. So Beth had a writing hand in this episode, Mary. Ebony Freeman has written the episode Birth Mother and also Light and Shadows. She has served, she has gone up the writing ladder of This Is Us from like staff assistant to story editor to right now she currently holds the executive story editor role on the This Is Us writing staff. Now, it does sound very snazzy and fun and extra, but I promise you, being an executive story editor is not very snazzy and fun and glorious. You're basically still just a story editor. You're just like a mid-range writer. You've come up through the ranks. You have like 2 to 3 years worth of experience of writing. This is the step that you take before you get like your first legitimate credits as a writer unto itself, before like you become a producer or a co-producer of those things. So, you know, you're kind of starting to become a somebody, but you ain't a somebody yet. You're still a nobody. And this is actually Susan's first writing credit of her career. So the first episode she's ever written of anything ever is the Beth episode for This Is Us, which I think is pretty special. Marvin, I would love to get your thoughts on the idea that the cast is starting to play more of a creative role in telling their stories and like Chris Sullivan was a director of the last episode. Susan Kalecki Watson is the writer of this episode. Milo Ventimiglia has directed a couple of episodes of This Is Us. What do you think about that?
If not now, when? You know, you got some sway. So if you wanted to try something out, you're kind of a BFD.
Yeah, sure. Right?
Why not ask for it? The worst they could say is no. You know, it'd be so sad. As if like Mandy Moore asked something. I mean, let's be real. She gets to sing and all it.
That's true.
So
yeah.
That's fine.
She's Rapunzel. She can do what she wants.
She actually doesn't want to do anymore.
What?
Because she has to do so many ages. She doesn't want another J.O.B.
That's true. Good point.
It's someone who's in like the other three or is dead. They're fine. They've got time.
Oh, yeah. Miggy directed an episode.
They got time to kill.
Yeah. I got four different characters to play in this show.
Yeah.
All of you
Mandy
can
Moore's
screw.
All done. No, so I think it's great. And as I said, like the other really neat thing about it is they do just get to try it out without probably having to be paid anymore. They say like, hey, can I try this? They already know everybody else. So even if Toby or Milo did a really bad job directing, mm-hmm. It was like they were with their friend who's like, you know what we usually do? Can I make a suggestion? You know when you're teaching a kid how to do something, but you're like guiding their hand the entire way, and you say, good job.
That was a choice.
I'm going to give you all the credit for this episode, and we're never going to do it again.
You know what we're going to do with that episode? We're just going to put it in a box.
Or they do a really good job, and they succeed, and now if they want to take a break from acting, mm-hmm. they can try it again. But I do think that it's pretty neat for them to just get to try.
Sure, sure. Trying is good.
Surrounded by people who've done this job.
So speaking of trying, Mary, speaking of trying, let's talk about your lemonade ratings.
Oh, okay.
What do you got for your lemonade ratings for Susan Kalecki Watson's first episode of any movie, television show, anything that she has ever written for Hollywood, like gotten actual credit for? What are you giving for her lemonade rating?
Giving it a 4.3.
Oh, that's a little low for you.
It is.
That's a little low. Do you want to expand on that a little bit, or do you want to just wait till your GPG?
I'll wait.
Okay. I'm going to give this one 3.99.
Which is also low for you.
No.
When have you given anything below 4 this season?
I haven't yet.
See?
Yeah, but just in,
you made my point.
In the macro sense of everything.
We don't do macro when it comes to This Is Us.
No, but even in terms of the macro This Is Us picture, 3.99 I think is average.
Hey, good job for a first try.
Yeah, like it's good. And you know what the thing is I don't think necessarily it's entirely her fault. I think it's more of a mechanic of the way the show is operating, but we'll get there in a minute. We'll get there in a minute. All right, what do you got for your GBG? You're good and you're bad and you're great.
All right. My good is Sophie. Just loving the young Sophie time,
oh,
Kate,
okay.
And
right. Yep.
Kevin dynamic of it all. I just really enjoyed her learning about this and seeing how it went down between Kate and Kevin. Just, I love those Kate and Kevin moments where no matter what, they have each other's back. Mm-hmm. Usually adult Kate didn't, but it's just, I don't know. I liked the Sophie and Kate and Kevin scene. I just enjoyed it a lot. I like that Kevin told her. Not right away, but still told her.
Yeah, but still, you know, had enough guts to tell her and did what he did. And he knew that it was probably going to end all things and still did it regardless. Okay, you're bad.
My bad. And this is just my personal bad. I think it's why I gave this episode such a low rating. I couldn't connect to the dance story. And it's not just because I'm not a dancer, but like you grew up your entire life playing baseball until you got hurt.
Yes.
So you had something that meant that much to you, that you worked out for the entire year. You gave everything to you. Always dreamed that you were going to be playing and you just had this life goal and something else threw you askew. Mm-hmm. So even though you're not a dancer, you understand what that's like to have this childhood dream that you dedicate your life to and then it's taken out of your hands. I was not a dancer, and even though I'm a musician, I honestly got very involved in music more later in my life, you know, so the high school year. So there was nothing that stuck with me since childhood. And because of that, I had a really hard time kind of connecting.
You don't gotta throw the iPad.
Connecting.
You don't gotta get that mad about it.
With that level of disappointment and frustration. Mm-hmm. And so once again, it's nothing bad that anyone did. It's just I like to watch This Is Us because I connect, and I didn't really connect to anything in this episode.
Yeah, you know, Mary, I don't think you have to have that love of that one thing. For like, I started baseball when I was 6, right? And yes, you're right. I loved it, and it was something that I did for my entire life until I had to essentially learn how to walk again. But I don't think that's necessary. I don't think that's a prerequisite to connect to this episode. And I don't think it's a prerequisite to understand and appreciate this episode. I just don't think that it fits. I don't think what happened fits what they're trying to accomplish. But it doesn't. We'll get into it. We'll get into it. Give me your great. Give me your great.
And my great. I'm digging the Mandy Moore, Miguel, brining, bestie dynamic. And I'm just really excited about Thanksgiving.
Yes. Knowing that Thanksgiving is coming, I'm in. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. All right. For me, my good. I will say that, you just throwing the iPad again. It's okay. It's only a $1,200 device. It's fine. I will say that this episode feels like a true sequel to the first Our Little Island Girl.
Yeah.
It is not a continuation like some of these episodes are, like the part one, part two, part three episodes of This Is Us. It felt like, okay, the first one the first Our Little Island Girl really stuck with Beth and how the dance affected her relationship with her family, mm-hmm. and how it talked about the dancing career through the lens of family, through her mother and her father and all the expectations that went along with it. This one takes that and evolves that or transforms it into a different perspective, which is why I call it a true sequel, not a continuation. Because a continuation would have been still reflective on her parents. The sequel part of it is it's through the lens of herself and her relationship with her teacher and how that colors her future actions. That is a sequel to me. That takes a story and levels it up a notch, and which is what I liked. The bad for me, though, was that while the first Our Little Island Girl was a true just deep dive into Beth and the dancing and everything, this one, it felt crammed. It felt shoehorned in, oddly enough. The Our Little Island Girl aspect of the episode felt like a secondary part to the episode. How can you have this episode and then pack so much of the Kevin, Madison, Toby, Elijah stuff into it?
You pack big three stuff in it when you're not big three.
What do you mean?
Beth isn't the big three, man. So how can she emotionally compete with the viewer when you've got Kevin cheating on Sophie and Kevin losing Thanksgiving and Toby and Kate breaking up?
Good point. And like, and I think this is like an affectation of the show itself rushing to get to its emotional endpoint for Beth.
I think that it's going to be a beautiful episode to look back on when you do your rewatches of This Is Us. I think Beth is like a fine wine. Like, you just really can savor her, and she's got some complex notes.
Yeah.
And you know, we get the big three. We know the big three in and out.
Oh yeah. But Beth, she got some fine tannins. You know, and I'm going to say this, the legs on Beth, very long.
So I'm just
very great.
Okay, please.
But the problem is, you're right, Mary. She can't compete with that as a character. And that's why I find it difficult to invest myself in the ballet storyline, because I feel like we've already gone there and done that. And I know that she becomes the head of this thing. Like, she becomes the head or whatever it is of this ballet like academy.
Yeah.
Do I need her? Do I need the, like, I'm going to go back and discuss or I'm going to relitigate the whole thing with my teacher again, and I'm going to have this phone conversation with him later, and that's what's going to propel me to do the whole, like, I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Beth for the next few episodes, because is this just for those of us who love Beth to get to know another layer of her? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, is this job going to impact her in a way that impacts her relationship with Randall?
Mm-hmm.
I will say that Beth has dedicated a lot of her energy and life to her kids and to Randall and to Randall's dreams.
Yep.
So it is rewarding to see that she gets to have a happy ending too.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Rebecca had that wonderful speech that she gave to Beth. So does Beth have a moment with Rebecca where she thanks her and they get to have a bonding thing? So I'm interested to see how it continues to play out.
Yeah.
Or if it's just now we're closing the Beth chapter.
I think that's what it is. And that's why I'm saying, like, the show feels like they're closing the Beth chapter and they rushed to get there. Mm-hmm. And not only that, it felt like they didn't have enough to get there. So they had to cram in the Madison, Kevin's other stuff with the Beth stuff to make it a full episode. And through that lens, Erica here says maybe they're ending too early. Another season would have been great. I disagree with you, Erica. I think the amount of seasons they have is probably right. I think they probably should have been more efficient with their time in the earlier episodes of this season. Like, they should, instead of spinning wheels early on, maybe they should have gotten to some of this stuff a little bit quicker.
I will say, though, that this episode got, like, major hate from a lot of people, and I don't see the need for that.
I can't say that.
Do we have a big three?
Yeah, we got a big three feedback here, so let's get to that, all right?
And we said,
that's three.
Big three?
Big three!
First one comes from Sydney in Atlanta, Georgia. She says, I was watching this episode during my lunch break today, crying into my sandwich box. The moment between Beth and her ballerina mini-me was beyond touching. And to see Tess and Annie glowing with pride only fueled the fire. The phone confrontation with Vincent was quite rewarding, too. I love to see Beth claim her power back as she stood up for herself and put those insecurities to bed. Then, to end cap the episode with the letter from Stacy, truly cemented the story and brought fresh tears to my eyes as soon as they had started drying up. Then, on the other side of the story, we've got the Kate-Kevin-Sophie juxtaposed against the Kate-Kevin-Madison storyline. And I loved seeing that Kate stand up to Kevin and also loved how he took it without really fighting back. It seems like there's some growth happening here, and I hope to get into that more in these final episodes. And while it was nice to see the initial sparks of the romance between Miguel and Rebecca, that plot line didn't do much for me overall. We all know this PTA guy is going away, so it seems silly to belabor the point. We all have so much little time left. I want to let you know that I really enjoyed this episode and want to rave about it. So 4.8 lemonades from me. So there you go. There's someone who loved it. All right. We got a voicemail. Here we go.
So I wanted to discuss the most controversial topic of this episode.
Okay.
Thanksgiving. Now, I do realize that what she should do is let Kevin take the kids. But I'm actually proud of her for being selfish.
Oh.
And I know how bad this sounds, but hear me out.
Okay.
She has been bending over backwards for the man since the no wedding.
Okay.
He's living in her house. He's there all the time. Well, he's not living in her house now, obviously, but he was living in her house. He's there all the time. Like, he's always there, coming in unannounced when she's with Elijah. You know what I mean? Like, that is beyond co-parenting. That is personal space. So, he hasn't given her a chance to feel. She has to make it comfortable for him all the time. And it sucks. And so I'm kind of proud of her for being like, forget you and your family. I want one day with just my kids and my guy who apparently loves me, even though, whatever, he's only been there a little while, but I don't really care because he seems very good to her. My point is, I am proud of her for just putting herself first, especially while the kids are still babies. They're not going to remember. Is it selfish? Yeah. But I think she's earned a right to be a little petty, considering that she has had to squash her feelings so that Kevin has his comfortable blended family of civility. Like, I think if she's going to be petty, this is when you get to be petty, when they're babies and have no memory of it. So, yeah, like, she's not obligated to give him the blended family where everybody is cool and great and the world revolves around the Pearsons. She's not with him. So she doesn't need to care about how his family feels. They can get a custody schedule. She can have her time. He can have his time. End of rant.
Thank you. That was great. Next time you call, please just let me know that your name and where you're from.
She doesn't want to. She wants to just be able to rant safely.
You know what?
Safely.
Fair. Then make up a name. Just say ranter from whatever.
Jane Doe.
Yeah, Jane Doe.
That was Jane Doe.
I will say this. How and why they don't already have a custody schedule is a little weird to me. I find that a little odd. I mean, maybe they're not there yet, but still, nonetheless, a little weird. Great takes. Coming in with a contrarian take.
Yeah.
And I'm in on that.
I'm not.
You're not in on that?
No, I'm proud of her for having her feelings, but I am not in on that take.
Okay, fair enough.
Kevin's mom is dying. Okay, they are babies, so they won't remember. Why do you want to bring your babies to your new boyfriend's Thanksgiving? Okay, go and have sex without babies and let Kevin's dying mom have Thanksgiving with them. Maybe he can put the hat on them. And the mom will die happy. Telling Jack that his grandbabies wore Pilgrim's hat. Pilgrim Rick's hat.
Yeah. You know what? This is a great debate to have, I think. It's a fair debate.
And you know what? Kevin should just say, Cassidy, you can have them Christmas. You're an Outlander fan. You can have them Yule. You can have them New Year's. Thanksgiving's my time. It's my time down here. She doesn't even care.
You can have them during Samhain, okay?
Seriously.
All right, we got one more. Here we go.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Isabella from Brazil.
Hi, Isabella.
I have listened to you guys for a while. I think that this episode is the worst episode.
All right.
I'm not a big fan of the dancing storyline, but this was awful, I think. The title of the episode refers to actually the worst part of it. I think the other parts didn't have anything to do with the storyline, but they weren't as bad as the main storyline. The good for me was Kevin. I think in other situations similar to this, he would be more mature, and this time he actually shows a little bit of maturity. My bad would actually be the exposition that wasn't handled well in the best storyline. I think when they explained the project she was doing to us in the beginning, I mean, it was a bad part. And I think that phone call at the end was awful. There was nothing realistic about it. I think her first confrontation with the guy from dancing was realistic, but the second one was not. And the great was Kate's relationship with Sophie. I think it's good that we get to see more of that and get to see how they stopped remaining friends. So
nope, looks like we got cut off there.
I would have called my teacher.
Yeah, I know you would have.
Yeah, I think Bess.
That's a guarantee you would have.
Bess a Gryffindor, man.
Oh, man. All right, so if you guys, if all your friends are watching the podcast, you can see Mary struggling right now. She is, again,
this is why I occasionally ask Blake, can we please just make an audio-based podcast just for a little while?
So here...
No, just keep... We can do it.
No. So
it's here, just our friends watching.
Here's what I'm
going to... Just know that I wish I could just be doing this audio right now.
So here's what I'm going to say to you. We are going to talk about the main points of this episode. Okay. We are not going to dive in like we normally do.
In case you guys want to know what long COVID looks like, this is what it looks like.
That's exactly what it is. If you want to see what long COVID looks like, go to the YouTube channel.
Look at me.
So here's what I'm going to say, Mary. Yeah, we're gonna run through some of this stuff, and then we're going to cut this one a little bit short.
Can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Do we need to talk about Beth at all?
No, I think we're done with Beth.
Check. Hey, can I have some beef?
Yeah, what do you got for beef?
Why is there no mention of Deja going to Boston?
That's some serious
beef. Under the table.
The way that episode left off was like, that's going to be a problem. That is Chekhov's gun. That is the thing that has been introduced in the beginning portion of this season. That better pay off.
She should have had a text from him. There was not even a mention of Malik. I don't need like a 5-minute thing.
Yep.
But just like have her take a picture of Beth and say like, Malik, I'm really proud of my mom or something. You know what I mean? Just to like show us, oh yeah, we wasted your time in Boston.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not.
So
I need to just get that off my chest. And I still love Annie. Annie wins the best kid award.
Just showing up.
Just doing her thing, man.
Little
just happy. Little sunshine.
Little Peggy. Just showing up.
Hey, and Peggy.
Here's what I will say about the Beth thing real quick. I agree that the calling was a little over the top for me. The fact that he just happened to be there
at that time. You wouldn't call.
And he did all that. I don't know. It was a lot of stuff.
That would happen to me if I called. Oh, just goodness. Like how when I got my COVID results and I was in my mom's apartment, some lady walked in.
Yeah.
That lady, I yelled at her because I thought she was a burglar and she was deaf. She couldn't hear me.
Huh?
and I was yelling at her.
Huh?
My God, you're not funny. You're not funny. And I just kept screaming, I have COVID. You must leave. And she was there trying to water my mom's plants because her mom's in Florida. That would happen to me if I were to call my teacher to yell at him. Because I call my old professor. I leave messages.
I know.
I would do that.
I know.
So don't worry. There are people in this world, friends, who would call their dance instructor when they have a momentous occasion. I just wrote one of my old bosses a thank you card.
You did.
Because I thought I had some moments and I thought that guy was actually a really good boss. And he probably never gets told that. So not only do people like Beth send bad into the world, they send good into the world too.
Another question I have about this is...
Loves her wine.
Is Goran Vishnik, as much as I'm out on Goran Vishnik, is he wrong?
No.
I don't think he's wrong at all either.
He's also dipped in formaldehyde. Never changes.
Hasn't changed since 1997. Just the same. They had to add gray into his hair just so it looked like he aged. No, is he wrong when he says, Beth, I'm not your parent. I'm there to make sure you're at your best. And I'm sorry, but I'm there to make you a star. You're not a star anymore.
You know what I heard?
What?
You.
Are you telling me Goran Vishnik and I are more alike than I care to admit?
That would be your response.
It's actually 100% correct.
If some kid ever told you that you dashed his baseball dreams as his coach because of a reaction you made.
I'm sorry.
That's what you would say.
That's just the way that it is.
So any of you watching, basically the Beth and dance teacher conversation gives you more insight to the people that Blake and I are.
That's true. That's true.
I know.
Veronica here says, and she has a dancing background with her daughter. She says on Facebook, that occasion was also terrible. The sitting on the floor with a dancer was incredibly cringy. Mary, your thoughts on Beth sitting with the dancer on the floor?
Okay. So that dancer wasn't incapacitated having the biggest panic attack where she couldn't move. Mm-hmm. So as a teacher, I would have closed the curtain and spoken with her or helped her close the curtain and had taken her off stage and still had that moment. But if my teacher did that to me and made me sit on that stage even longer, I wouldn't really handle it that well. But I don't know.
Rachel on Facebook says it would be more believable if it just was a non-working number and Beth had to say all that stuff out loud to just get it into the universe.
I'd like that too.
I would agree too. I would if
it's
that.
When you write those letters and you burn them.
Yes.
Or you're like me and you actually mail them.
I just did one, as a matter of fact.
I know, it's because I told you to.
Wait,
you sent it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I wouldn't have agreed with that one.
Wait, why not? I told you I was going to.
Oh, no. Okay. Anyway.
Wait, hold on. I haven't sent it yet.
You listeners, did he just make you think that he sent a letter?
I
did he word it in a way that made you think he sent a very important letter?
No, I meant I wrote it out.
And I knew you wrote it.
And I intend on sending it out. I thought you said, you're going to send him.
Oh, my God. I just can't. You just gave me a heart attack.
Oh, no, yeah.
I'm going to be that little girl on stage. Can't move.
Mary, you and I will sit with you in front of all these people until they all leave our stream.
Okay. Rebecca and Miguel, don't really need to get into it because whatevs. We know the ending, okay? Luke, I am your father. Ruined the ending. I know what happens. Rebecca and Miguel end up together. What I am here for, I am so here for, is to see how Mark messes it up. Matt, what's his name?
Matt, PTA Matt.
Yeah, I am so excited. What can he do that is so bad that Rebecca doesn't want to date him after Thanksgiving?
Yes, something is going to happen.
Okay, so.
With PTA Matt.
What could it be? Ready? Let's just play worst case scenario. Let's be a Pearson.
You want worst case scenario?
Yep. I've got one that is even worse than yours.
Okay, no you don't.
I do.
No you don't. No, you don't. I promise you, you don't.
Oh, no. Okay, what? Does he die during dinner? Does he make a racist joke against Hispanics?
Nope.
While Miguel's there?
He unzips it, takes it out, and puts it on the table.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, Blake.
Stirs the gravy with it.
Oh, yeah, you went very different.
See, worst case scenario. You asked for worst case. I gave you some worst case.
He could, you know what I was thinking? Like, wouldn't it be so bad as making a racist joke or, you know, dying? I thought he could make like a bad burning the house down joke.
Oh, that's bad.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Like he starts singing Burning Down the House.
Or something like something catches on fire and he's like, wow, you're really lucky you didn't burn this house down. Yeah. Like not knowing. In front of all the kids. That one's great,
like,
right?
Like Miggy burns the turkey.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like something like, oh no, I left the bread in the oven. That's what the smoke is. And he's like, we better not burn the house down. Someone's going to have to save the dog. Like not knowing. Watch out, KO Agan. Coming for you. Stop. I actually am coughing. Okay.
Oh,
all right. So there's our worst case scenario. Did anyone contribute something I can't see because my headache's so bad?
No. Actually, Rachel says nobody talks about him, so it can't be anything memorable. That or it is so memorable they choose to not talk about it.
Well, he doesn't die.
I don't think he croaked. Like he chokes on a chicken bone or a turkey
bone
or
something. Does he try to put on the hat?
Oh, that's a good one.
And then Kate loses it. Nope. Not you.
You're out.
I don't have time for this.
All right. So let's talk about the Kevin, Madison, Kate, and having that juxtaposed against the Kevin, Sophie, Kate thing.
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to say that ruins the whole storyline for me.
Oh.
The retcon. The retcon of Thelma and Louise into this story. At no point in any episode at all in This Is Us history has Thelma and Louise ever been referenced.
Are you sure?
100 guaranteed fracking percent. That has never once been mentioned. And all of a sudden, I'm ready. I'm supposed to be here and buy the fact that they're in love with Thelma and Louise and she's Louise and
I would believe
she's
it.
Thelma.
I tell you why.
Why?
Because Kate, Kevin, and Sophie, movie lovers.
If this was
movie lovers.
If this was a Princess Bride reference, if it was like, you know, I should have been your Andre the Giant.
Girls don't watch The Princess Bride together and think that, like, who am I? There's only freaking Buttercup. Okay, there's only one Buttercup. Girls don't pretend. You know what they watch? They talk about Thelma and Louise, and they talk about that movie where the girls were in the 70s, and then they were in where they're older, and Rosie O'Donnell was one of the adults. Do you remember this movie? And there were four girls, and they ride their bikes, and it's the 70s.
Yes.
What's the meme of that movie?
Oh, I can't remember now. Oh, give me a second. People are screaming.
Christina Ricci's in it, and all the girls. That's what you do when you're a girl. You say, like, oh, you know, would you be Thelma, or would you be, you know, Louise, and then they watch this Rosie O'Donnell, Christina Ricci movie. Would you be that one, or would you be that one?
Oh, now and then.
Now and then.
Now and then.
Friends, back me up. Okay, I'm surprised. You know, and there was only two of them, so it's not like
Melanie Griffith,
Kate and Sophie. It wasn't a foursome. Okay, it's not like they had lots of people. It's just Kate and Sophie. So they're not going to say like which character
Demi
are you in now
Moore,
and then.
I forgot that she was in that.
That's
movie.
What I'm saying, man.
Man, Rita
if there
Wilson.
Were more kids, if they had a bigger friend group, like if Kate actually had friends in this show, then they might say that they're those characters. But because there's only two. That's when you see, like,
that's
what...
That's right, I forgot. Christina Ricci was...
That's what I said. Booby trap.
Was the Rosie O'Donnell character.
I know.
I forgot. Holy smokes.
I just said it.
Wow.
Okay. So that's what intense. I'm saying. I'm saying you would see it that way, but there's only one girl character, really, in The Princess Bride's Buttercup.
Yeah, whatevs. Whatevs.
No, and it's not like... Sophie's not going to be like...
Yeah, but I'm still... If there was some kind of reference at all to Thelma and Louise, I'd be in on that. The problem is the fact is they're trying to create this tension between the three relationships shared between generations, and it's just not there. And I think it was a big stretch to make from Kate potentially ruining a marriage to Kate not backing up Kevin about Thanksgiving. I find that a little bit of a stretch for me. And it was hard to take seriously.
I think that Kate vouching for Madison this time is because Kate's like girl power. Boys drool and girls rule right now. She's not happy with her husband. When you're not happy with your partner, You're often skewed.
All right. Last thing I want to talk about. Actually, there are two more things I want to talk about. What?
That Kate's not on Kevin's team for this? She's always on his team. Why is she not on his team now all of a sudden?
It's a good point.
I think it's because she's tired, she's crabby, and she's having marital issues. Because Kate has always had his back.
That's a fair point. So that's actually, that leads into one of the things I want to talk about. The whole Toby, how they're handling Toby, and now especially in light of Kevin being there. I think they're doing Toby dirty.
I think all of us could appreciate that Kevin's loud playing his guitar. Kevin was rude with his guitar. He was rude. There's granted one of the babies is deaf. The other baby isn't deaf. Kate's probably trying to sleep. You know Toby's working. And even after Toby says, please stop playing, Kevin strums again.
Yeah, like a little.
It's being a jerk.
I know, but regardless, I still think they're doing Toby dirty. The way that they're treating his character, like all of a sudden he's on.
It's because we only see it through the big three eyes, and that's what's tough. We only see it through the big three's eyes. Think about everyone when they're getting a busy job. I'm not saying I like Toby. I'm not saying I want him to work out with Kate. And I also don't appreciate that Toby doesn't realize that Kevin, as you know, a person in recovery who's just essentially like not gotten married.
Hold on, there's one clarification I want to make. Some of our listeners here that are watching us, the baby is blind, not deaf.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
It's the COVID fog that he's in. It's COVID fog.
Of course, he's not deaf. He's a musician. So see, he's keeping up the both babies.
A person.
Wow, that just happened to my brain.
Yes, it did.
I want to be like the "Don't Do Drugs" commercial.
Don't get COVID.
Well, you got it, and you're fine.
That's true. Yeah,
nothing happened to you.
Should I come out with like a frying pan, put the eggs in it?
Don't be Mary.
This is your brain on COVID.
No, because it's not for everyone.
And
but
it's
me.
Just dry ice, and the smoke comes up.
No. Okay.
All right. Lastly,
you were saying they're doing Toby wrong.
I think they're doing Toby dirty.
I think as that a character. If people, well, it's because once again we're supposed to see things through the big three's eyes.
Yeah. Yes, but that still doesn't mean that we have to agree with it.
What breaks them up? Worst case scenario. This is all I can handle with this brain.
I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
Is it the whole, like, you know, Jack banging his head against the grill thing?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, right.
Never mind. Move on. I hate this worst case scenario. Involves a kid.
All right. Lastly, Elijah. Let's just talk about Elijah.
You hate Elijah, so just do what you need to do.
I'm out on Elijah.
You know what? People were out on you.
I think that's fine. They can be out on me.
Elijah didn't mean.
In fact, if they weren't out on Elijah on me, then we wouldn't have a podcast.
Okay, great.
So I think the whole I think the show was trying to play off the you're going to be waiting a long time thing as this big romantic moment, and I didn't take it that way.
I took it as a show saying, if any of you are still shipping Madison and Kevin, you're on the wrong course. And I also just take it as, you don't really need to care about Madison. We're telling you to care about Beth.
Yep.
But we don't really care if you care about Madison.
Yeah.
Okay? She can just go have her happy little Thanksgiving with some guy you don't care about. Just know that she's happy.
Yeah. He's just too comfortable.
Buddy, just let Madison have a happy ending. Okay, that's all I'm saying is let her have a nice little bow. Girlfriend deserves it. That's what I think the show is trying to do. Right. Is saying Madison's not a big deal. Okay,
Please
stop thinking that she's going to come back just because she's got a gorgeous robe and her hair looks super cute and it's not believable at all that she's a mom of twin babies. But it's all good. It's all good. Just know she ends up happy because she's had a rough life. And we do appreciate that for her.
Isabella on Facebook says they're making Toby to be something he never was.
I think they're making Toby to see how Kate sees him at this point.
Okay.
And as the empath that I am, I can just say that sucks. Sucks to be in a bad relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't think Toby's doing anything wrong.
Speaking of Toby, well, no.
I don't think he's doing anything wrong. I think people can fall out of love.
That's what I'm saying.
People need to stop making
up. The way that the writers are crafting that story, I think they're doing Toby dirty in that story.
I think Kate needs to speak up and say, hey, our relationship isn't going that well. If Kevin's the one that has to tell Toby that Kate doesn't like him walking around the house with his ear pods, that's Kate's fault.
Good point. Good point.
Listen, Beth Randall would have said the same thing. She would take a big swig of that wine and
just
said,
gonna say.
Baby girl Kate, as your sister-in-law, I gotta just tell you.
Yep.
Kevin is not an owl. Okay?
I'm not an owl.
You're a wizard, Harry.
You got a problem with the ear pods. You go tell your man you got a problem with the ear pods.
All right. You got anything else to say about this episode?
No.
Ready for in or out?
Just said PTO Matt might die.
No. That's the hot take. You're ready for in or out?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
What's it gonna be, McFly? Are you in or out?
All right. Ready? In or out on Emeril Lagasse.
Out.
I'm out too. He's from Fall River, Massachusetts, by the way. You know that?
I believe it.
He is from Fall River.
I love our people.
In or out on turkey brine?
I'm in.
I'm in too. But you know what I've decided? I'm no longer using turkey brine.
I know you don't. You never have.
No, I've used turkey brine before.
When?
What? Before my newest discovery. Before my newest discovery.
You didn't do a 3-day Emeril Lagasse brine.
I didn't do a 3-day Emeril
Lagasse
brine.
You didn't even
brine.
Like day.
I know. I did a day. I did a day worth. More like a half a day. But
yeah,
I did
no.
a half. No. I did a brine.
You like put a little stuff on top of it.
I did a brine. I did a brine.
No, you ordered dinner.
No.
Yes, you did.
For Thanksgiving?
Yes. We had it catered.
Absolutely not. I've been frying our turkey now for the past 7 years.
When we had it in the apartment?
Yeah, I wasn't making my turkey in the apartment.
Yeah, we ordered it.
I'm talking about like the most I've
done
a brine. Since we have fried our turkey, I tried a brine, Marvin.
That's not like long brine. That's like
yeah.
Painting.
I told you it was like a half a day.
Okay.
What I'm trying to get at here is my latest discovery is adobo. I'm out. Just put adobo on the turkey and
adobo
fry it.
Adobo
on a turkey. Is phenomenal.
Guys, skip this Emeril Lagasse 3-day stuff.
Get rid of that
nonsense.
Get the
giant tub of adobo.
And just pour it on. Don't even be liberal. Just take half the bottle and throw it right on that bad boy.
It's very good.
And it's so good, especially if you're frying it. Adobo is where it's at for turkey. Okay? Just throwing that out there.
I want mashed potatoes.
Hashtag not a sponsor. In or out on studio audiences for television.
Out.
Yeah, I'm out on it.
I would never want to be one. I hate when you pan to the studio audience and
yep.
you can tell like mm-hmm. the clothes they had to wear mm-hmm. and they're all jumping up and down and they laugh too late and
yep.
it's so awkward.
Yep. Don't tell me when to laugh.
I like theater, but I don't like televised studio audiences. And then mm-hmm. you have to like, yeah, you have to tell them when to laugh, or if something goes wrong, you still have to do it again. Then it's inauthentic.
Yep. No, just out.
I do think that it's cool from the perspective of you can see what it's like to film a show,
mm-hmm.
but I would almost like it behind like a pane of glass,
yes.
kind of like the rotating scene from Jurassic Park with Dino DNA.
Yes, absolutely. I'll take that.
Me too.
Best exposition ever put to film right there.
Preach.
Dino DNA. In or out on the show King of the Hill.
Out.
Love that show.
I bet you did.
I was such a big fan of that show.
That's great.
It was very funny.
I watched then and now.
In or out for beer at dinner?
If you're having pizza.
Even then, I think I'm out. I think beer is a thing that you enjoy separately from dinner. Dinner is when you have a nice cocktail, or you have some water, or you have a soda.
What if you want a cider?
Cider I can do.
Okay.
Cider I can do. Can't do beer. I don't want to do beer at dinner. It's too much. Way too many things happen.
I mean, Kevin's having his beer whenever and wherever, right?
What do you mean?
Are you talking about Kevin drinking beer?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying Kevin would drink it whenever.
Yeah,
dinner,
I know, but I'm
breakfast.
Saying but just the specific application
where
of beer at
life
dinner.
Right now. Okay. Listen, man. I'm not fussy when it comes to bevvies.
I am. I'm very fussy.
I know you are. I'm the girl. Literally, friends, it's not even just out, like adult bevvies.
Yeah.
When I sit down, I need like 4 glasses of water.
Yes, that's 100% true.
I will drink anything liquid.
I literally drink the same thing at breakfast every single time, and it's the same exact process. I start with a coffee before I have my food.
You're supposed to start with water.
Mm-mm. I start with a coffee, then I move, and when I get my food... Mm-hmm. I move on to orange juice.
Okay.
And then when I have my sweet afterwards, I'm back on coffee again.
You have a dessert at breakfast?
Yeah, pancakes, French toast.
Every day?
Well, not every day, you hoop. I'm talking like when we go out to breakfast.
You're too much.
All right. In or out on Thelma and Louise?
Out.
Really?
It's not a Mary movie.
Wow.
What?
Directed by Ridley Scott, as a matter of fact. The same guy who directed Gladiator.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That's fine.
Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not for me.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Why would you think it's a me movie?
I just, you know, the whole, like, holding the hand thing after driving off the cliff together and...
What the hell are you doing?
What the hell are you doing?
No. Not my style.
In or out on dance recitals? Come on.
Oh,
yeah, way out. I want nothing to do with it. Dance recitals are the worst, especially when you get to pay for the tickets to go to the dance recital. That's the worst.
When they made us pay for our child who danced.
That's right. Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yep.
They made us pay for our kid.
Because he was a boy, and they only had dressing rooms in the back for a girl. And I said, this is very sexist. And yep. If this was a sports organization where there was one female player, would you expect her to have to pay for the game because she couldn't go to the locker room? And they said, that's different. Mm. Oh, we didn't go back to that dance.
Yeah, we
studio.
Were done with that place. We were done. That place sucks. All right, in or out on brunch?
I'm in.
I love brunch.
Me too.
Brunch is the best.
I especially love brunch after I've had my first breakfast.
Yeah, yes, that's true. You know what I can really do alcohol?
Because when I eat a brunch, and it's technically my second breakfast and Blake doesn't know, what do I get at the diner? When you guys are all getting pancakes, what am I getting?
Shepherd's pie.
I'm getting shepherd's pie. No joke. That just happened last weekend.
And they were like, "You, wait, what, the waitress is like, wait, you want shepherd's pie? Wait, was that a mistake? No, Mary's like, no, I want shepherd's pie.
I was like, I saw it on the specials
board.
Took
like an hour and a half to get our breakfast because they had to mash the freaking potatoes. They weren't ready. It's freaking 9 a.m. We're getting shepherd's pie.
It wasn't 9.
The cook came out looking at you like, are you out of your mind? Lady.
He's ready for my savory.
Shepherd's pie. Oh, man.
I don't think I was meant to eat in this country. I was meant to have like a very savory breakfast like they do in other countries.
You know what I love about brunch? My favorite part of brunch?
What?
Mimosa.
No, that's not your favorite part. It
absolutely is my favorite part of brunch.
You like never really. No, we don't even go to places that serve mimosas.
Sure we do.
We go to places that serve shepherd's pie. Okay, can we carry on?
Yes. All right. In or out on overbearing coaches?
I don't even. I don't really do that. Okay.
Mary's out.
No, I don't do overbearing coaches.
All right. In or out on bread pudding?
I'm not nice to those people.
No, you're not. In or out bread pudding?
Very in.
Yeah.
You are too, if it's covered in caramel.
If it's covered in caramel, I'm in.
I know you are.
If it ain't covered in caramel, I don't want to eat soggy bread.
Oh, I do.
Oh, it's so gross.
It's so good.
Soggy bread is the hashtag the
Makes
worst.
Makes you take a mashed potatoes, which I want right now.
I'll make you some mashed potatoes.
I'll just go to the diner tomorrow morning. Get it on top of my shepherd's pie.
Hey, it's the shepherd's pie lady. She's here again.
They're making an extra special batch right now.
Get the beef. All right. Let's
that's the last one.
Yeah, it's the last one. You got a hot take?
No.
All right, I got a hot take.
Matt's gonna ruin dinner. He's gonna talk about dead Burns house. No, Blake, we're done with that. Oh
right.
My god.
My hot take is this. They're making too big of a big deal out of this Elijah thing. I'm not sure.
I don't think they're making that big of a deal of it at all.
It's a thing.
I think that it's just a wish. I think it's like the wishing Frodo well as he goes on the ship. Okay? It's just goodbye.
In one of the 50 endings of Return of the King?
No, that's like the real ending.
No, it's not.
Until Sam gets his girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. And then they got 3 other endings after that.
Okay. Exactly, Blake. This is just one of the endings.
I think that Elijah eventually does something to push Madison to back into Kevin's arms. That's why they're so friendly.
Oh my God. You can't make up your mind.
I'm not saying.
You want everyone with Kevin. Want it to be
no.
Polyamorous. Is that the word?
Polygamist
relationship.
Polyamorous.
Polyamorous.
Nothing. That is a word you have made up.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
This is what happens with long COVID, oh my ladies God. And gents.
This All is right. why I can't podcast live.
All right, here we go. Let's close this bad boy out. Here we go. All right, I'll take it for you, Mary. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us and dealing with Mary, making up words like polyamorist and having fun with that. Thank you so much. Go to maryandblake.com to check out all the great podcasts that we have. And if you want to get in touch, check us out on all the social medias. And, of course, as Mary just pointed to, go to the Mary and Blake store where you can get a bunch of great things, and especially Outlander stuff. If you're watching this live, remember that Outlander comes back tomorrow. Mary and I will be having a podcast on Monday evening breaking down the premiere of Outlander. Very excited. The return of Outlander cast. Some say the crown jewel of Mary and Blake Media. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe it is. And anyway, my name is Blake.
My name is Mary.
This is Us Two.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.